Hi, this is Dr. Homer Lim, and you're listening to your Holistic Health Podcast.
For this specific podcast, I would like to discuss the post-acute COVID syndrome or yung tinatawag natin, long haulers. I think this is very important. For the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've been getting a lot of people who have been complaining or do have some showing signs of what we call the post-COVID syndrome or what we call the long hauler. So what are the things that we have to look at when we say that they truly have what we call the post-acute COVID syndrome? In the beginning, you know, there was really no name on these people. It was recently when the organization has come up with the official name, so it's called the post-acute COVID syndrome. So, but in other places, you could see it as long haulers or post-acute COVID or long COVID. So what are the signs and symptoms that you might have post-COVID syndrome? So let's say after 2 weeks of your COVID, and then you still have what we call persistent lingering, no? Kumbaga, parang hindi nawawala or hindi gumagaling. So these are what we call the long persistent symptoms. So if you have persistent fatigue, you're always feeling tired, you always want to go to sleep, so you have difficulty breathing, chest pain, continually having cough. So these are the most common signs or symptoms that we do see quite frequent now, those who have had COVID. Now, who are the more commonly seen yung mga madaling magkakaroon ng post-acute COVID syndrome or long haulers? Sadly, you know, it's really the women. More women seem to have a propensity or more likely to develop what you call post-acute COVID syndrome or long COVID. No? Also, we find in people who are obese, no? So if they are obese, they seem to be more prone to having this lingering symptoms as well as those who are, you know, elderly, especially mga matatanda na, you know, when their oxygen drops to about 80%, 70%, usually they would have to be, even though they're okay, they're already cured of COVID, they would have very, very low oxygen. No, they need to be continually on oxygen for probably 1 to 2 months, depending on how bad you got COVID. No? So you could see from the right side of this slide, no, yung mga yung nagkakalong COVID, nagkakaroon sila ng tinatawag natin consolidation. No? So it doesn't mean that it's an infection. It just means that you know, the virus has caused this tinatawag natin lung issues. No? So that's why they have nagkakaroon din ng ano, peklat ng lung, nagkaka-fibrosis or peklat sa lung. That's why, you know, their oxygen level seems to be persistently low even after clearing the virus, even after clearing the, you know, systemic effect known the virus. No? So a lot of people also complain of loss of taste and smell, but this is very not so common here. I have one who said he then lost of taste for 1 year now, no? So, but it's not as common as those who have been having fatigue, chest pain, as well as difficulty breathing and, you know, keep on coughing, no? But one of the things that we see very, very common also is people who have gastrointestinal, usually they complain of hyperacidity. So after COVID, you know, I had several, you know, persistently, parang lagi silang hyperacidic or GERD, no? So it doesn't seem to go away. They never had GERD before or hyperacidity, but now it has problems. So this apparently is post-COVID, so we have to be aware of this also. Now, of course, there will be some, again, in women, no, that would have developed some form of brain fog, no? Brain fog meaning they cannot think clearly, no? Hindi sila makapag-compute or they cannot even remember things quite clearly as before they had the COVID, no? And of course, some or most really develop some form of anxiety or depression. So these are some of the post-acute COVID syndromes. There are other symptoms, but these are the more common. And usually when you see people complaining of this, most likely it's really post-COVID. It's not nag-aarte sila or anything. It's really a problem brought about by the virus. Now, why would this happen? So they're the most common theory behind this, what they call the mast cell activation. So mast cell is a form of immune cell na ginag-ano yan, madalas yun sa mga may allergies, no? So if you have allergies, your mast cells release, sinatawag natin, histamine. And then, mamumula ka, mamamaga yung mukha mo, yung katawan mo, kasing makate. So these are the cells, the mast cells are the ones that release histamine in when it comes in contact with a foreign antigen or a foreign body. No? So parang ano kasi yan eh, it's an alarm system for our bodies and to us to tell us, oops, what you ate or what you were exposed to, you should not be exposed to again. To it again. Now, in one of the theories now, sa post-acute, is baka itong mga mast cells keep on releasing histamine. Remember, histamine, hindi lang kasi ang symptoms yan, hindi lang sa skin or sa blood, no? It really affects even your mental state, your organs, no? It can also affect that as well as your psycho-emotional state. So, a lot of research on the mast cell activation are those who have chronic fatigue syndrome, no? Kaya they found out that before, when in the beginning, kala nila, after COVID, nagkaroon na sila ng chronic fatigue syndrome. But now they know that it's not, I mean, after COVID, kala nila nagkaroon ng chronic fatigue syndrome. But it actually is a distinct, kumbaga, a distinct form of issue, no? Or a disease called post-acute COVID syndrome. So, what's the common denominator in mast cell activation? So apparently, nagkaroon ng activation or improper activation of the mast cell, which persistent is persistent in yung activation niya. So nagkakaroon tayo ng inflammation or what we call yung, and therefore, nagkakaroon pa ng symptoms of long COVID or post-acute COVID syndrome. Okay? Now, the other one, is monocyte macrophage abnormalities. Now, just to make it simple, from the paper that I included, no, persistence of SARS-CoV-1 S1 protein or the spike protein, no, in monocytes. Monocyte is a type of white blood cell or immune cell, no, that kumbaga siyang taga-presenta ng mga foreign antigens, okay, foreign bodies or antigens sa mga white blood cells. So if yung monocyte mo has this S1 protein in its cell, no, and it will keep on telling other immune cells, uy, may virus pa, keep attacking, keep on going and finding, you know, the cause of, you know, this. So yun, nagkakaroon sila ng parang activation ng inflammation, no. So this is also one thing that they're looking at. So again, it's immune, no? As similar to your mast cells, that's an immune abnormality, no? But the other one that is rarely talked about is, or, you know, less talked about and less research is the persistence of virus. I think this is very important. If you remember, yung, in China, there was one article saying in China, how did they do testing for the virus in COVID instead of a nasopharyngeal swab, they will do a rectal swab, no? Rectal swab because it's true, you can still find a virus. If you have the COVID infection, you can find the virus in your duct or in your intestine, no? So what if the virus is actually in the gut? So could this be also an issue or a cause that would make you have long COVID, no? And why is this very plausible one, but because in children who develop yung multi-inflammatory syndrome, no, parang Kawasaki, no, they found out because of the virus was persistently in their gut. So could this be also an issue? So the reason I put it here because when we talk about the treatment for post-acute COVID syndrome, there might be a reason to think that talagang it could be a persistent virus in your gastrointestinal tract or in your gut when you go kano. Please remember, your gut does not only contain bacteria. Your gut also contains bacteria, viruses, fungus, and of course, kung meron kang bulate, you know, parasites. So we have to understand that so hindi lang puro bacteria nasa bitukan natin. We also have the viruses, the fungus, okay? As well as the parasites, okay? No, so what we do? So I think this is one of the most important things that we really want to talk about and we want to share it to to everyone that there is a treatment. You should not be in despair. So we have found treatment. So again, our treatment is similar to or based to what the FLCCC or the Frontline Critical Care Center or doctors, no? Headed by Dr. Spear Corey and Dr. Marit, no? So as you could see, before the I said persistent bias. So that's why ivermectin was initially introduced. Actually, in Brazil, no, there's this doctor who gives ivermectin in long COVID or post-COVID. He gives ivermectin at doses of 0.2 milligrams per kilogram per day for 5 to 7 days. Pag hindi gumaling, he will double the dose until, and double the dose again until you, they say, oh, I'm okay. I don't feel any of the long COVID symptoms anymore. But I guess he's very strong with his treatment strategy. But what we found out is very good actually would be just an ordinary dose of ivermectin, which is 0.2 to 0.4 milligrams per day, no? For 5 to 7 days. So normally we would ask them to take it 5 to 7 days. One capsule, two capsules, if they're really very sick, they cannot get out of bed, they cannot go to work. And then once a week, okay? Then we add in a serum. Okay, remember, as I discussed before, may inflammatory issues. So we can give prednisone. Of course, you will need a doctor's prescription similar to your ivermectin and the other drugs that we will be mentioning. No? Now, so the prednisone is given for actually 15 days in tapering doses. So we taper from 0.5 milligrams per kilogram per day for 5 days, and then half it for 5 days, and then half it again for the last 5 days. So it's actually 15 days. No? So, but the easiest way would be to give, let's say, normally, you know, we weigh around 60, 70 kilos for women, 50 to 60. So I would just give around, you know, 30 to 40 milligrams of prednisone or prednisone, and I would just half that. So if they are taking 15, I would give let's say 10 sa umaga, 5 sa tanghali. I wouldn't want to give steroids in the evening because, you know, it might keep you awake. And then for men, I would give 20 in the morning and then 10 around lunch time. Okay? So that's how we start. You know, I think that's a better way of dosing, so you won't have a hard time trying to compute. Of course, if they're weighing more than 100 kilograms, then you really have to adjust it accordingly. Okay? Now, as I said earlier, no, post-acute COVID syndrome, mast cell activation, too much histamine in the body. So what you give to remove that, or to relieve that, you give an antihistamine. So I'm sure you very well know about antihistamine. And this is available even at over-the-counter. You could use cetirizine or lorazepam. Okay? Now, once or twice, depending again how severe their symptoms are. No, some of them really complain of having ubo sila ng ubo, no, or makapila yung lalamunan. So these are the people you want to give antihistamine. Now, in the FLCC protocol, there was a antidepressant with the name of fluvoxamine. However, fluvoxamine is not available in the Philippines and it's on patent. It's going to be a bit difficult to get. Now, another one, because in mast cell activation, too much histamine, so you're activating actually the H1 or histamine 1 receptors and histamine 2 receptors. This is for the doctors, okay? Now, because also in the Philippines, we don't have yung H2 blockers, hindi na masyadong readily available. No? Before, no, we had lots of the H2 blockers, yung ranitidine, famotidine. So, but these are now medyo wala na sa market. So, in replacement, we do have a drug called ciproheptadine. This is a very old drug. In fact, it's probably as old as your lolo and lola. You know, so this was actually used before, no? So, the nice thing about this is because ciproheptadine is both an H1 and an H2 blocker, okay? And it was initially used aside for antihistamine. It's also been used for those who develop tinatawag natin serotonin syndrome. So it's very technical. This is for doctors. I know you would know what serotonin syndrome. Usually, when do patients have serotonin syndrome? Usually when they have very severe or they're very critical COVID symptoms or COVID disease, no? Why would they have so much serotonin? Because of their too much platelets being activated. The platelets release serotonin, okay? So one of the things to treat that is actually cyproheptadine. And I think that's one of the protocols for the IMAC protocol, which SLCC use for their hospital patients, okay? Cyproheptadine was used as an appetite stimulant in children. However, this was discontinued because they found out that cyproheptadine in children can cause until growth, no? So this was kind of phased out into some of the old drugs. So anyway, so aside from antihistamine, which is your H1, your antihistamine, cetirizine, loratadine, as well as your H2, ranitidine or famotidine, and of course in the placement would be cyproheptadine, you can also use Montelukast. So Montelukast is the one also tawag nating mast cell stabilizer. So if you remember in the previous slide, we were talking about long COVID, sobrang activation ng mast cell. So Montelukast will stabilize your mast cell so it will not produce the histamine release into the blood. Okay? So Montelukast may also be an option. Okay? Now, I'm sure a lot of people have not seen or even heard of low-dose naltrexone. Low-dose naltrexone actually is an opiate antagonist. No? Sa US, it's called antabuson. So this is used actually for alcoholics. So when they drink alcohol while antabuse or naltrexone, they will be very, very sick. So this is actually a drug that is used for alcoholics. However, they found out in low doses, naltrexone is a very good immune modulator. Okay, so of course you will have to have a prescription also for naltrexone. It is readily available in some of the compounding pharmacies. Okay, now these are just the recommendation, but of course you will still need a consult with your doctor if you do have post-COVID syndrome. In addition to that, you should still continue your vitamin C, vitamin D, omega-3. Quercetin is similar to action of the Montelukast. Okay, it kind of stabilizes your mast cell. Okay, as well as melatonin, which is also an anti-inflammatory antioxidant. Okay, and of course, because we were discussing earlier, could there be a reason that, you know, the virus is persistent in the gut? So one of the things, how do we correct the gut issue? How do we make it stronger? How do we make the good bacteria overpower the bad bacteria? So we can use some probiotic, fermented foods, your kimchi, your sauerkraut, your achara, as long as the achara is not so sweet, no? More vinegar, pickled vegetables, or you can use kefir. So these are things that would help you even if, you know, you cannot get the other drugs or it's still not available. So these are pretty much available and easy to procure. So again, for those who have questions with regards to, or you might have this sinatawag natin post-COVID, post-acute COVID syndrome, or long hauler, you may ask your questions. You may do that through our app. The CDCPH has an app on Google and Apple. So it's the CDCPH Telemed app. You can get a consult with the doctor with regards to your symptoms. Okay? So I just want to tell everyone that this post-acute COVID syndrome can be treated, but you should not feel depressed or lose hope, because I know a lot of people could not get back to work even though they want to already, but because of the symptoms that they're having, they could simply not go to work. But it can be treated. We can do this. I also recommend if it's really a bad case of post-COVID, they do their IV vitamin C. And you know, a lot of people who have long COVID, post-COVID, or even have COVID, when they do their IV vitamin C, they immediately feel the effect of how the vitamin C actually kind of, you know, it's like the vitamin C is like the fire extinguisher, you know, extinguishes the inflammatory effects of COVID.
Thank you for listening to your Holistic Health Podcast. This is Dr. Homer Lim. Now, if you do have questions about your health or you would like to request topics for our next podcast, please do message us at our FB page or Instagram at Akesis Holistic Health, or you may visit our website at www.akesisholistic.com. Thank you again, and please do come back for our next episodes.